Wellness Management. Learn how to lead in the expanding field of health and wellness management. Details at uwp.edu. This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Mangi. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Mangi for WGTD Gateway Radio 91.1 HD. Our program is Education Matters, and our theme is Kenosha Being Kind and Practicing Peace, as we interview people who continue to go the extra mile to make the communities of southeastern Wisconsin a better place to live, work, play, and to learn and grow. So thank you for being great listeners and for supporting Gateway Radio. And thank you to our Gateway Radio administrators, Dave Cole, Dave McGrath, developmental specialist Troy McDonald, and to President Brian Albrecht for this great opportunity. Before we begin our scheduled program, a shout out to all of our teachers as we celebrate National Teacher Appreciation Week. Teachers affect eternity. We can never tell where our influence stops. Or as one unified teacher once said to me, my kids are my heartbeat. So thank you, teachers, for all that you have done and continue to do for our kids. You make miracles happen, and we appreciate you. So, this morning, we are really fortunate to have with us three of the principal figures of Bradford's upcoming production, The Scottsboro Boys, a very powerful and meaningful musical based on true events taking place in Alabama in the 1930s. Basically, the Scottsboro Boys were nine African-American teenagers, ages 13 to 20, falsely accused in Alabama of raping two white women on a train in 1931. The landmark set of legal cases from this incident dealt with racism and the right to a fair trial. The cases included a lynch mob before the suspects had been indicted, all white juries, rush trials, and disruptive mobs. It is commonly cited as an example of a miscarriage of justice in the United States legal system. So, we have with us first Christopher Chase Carter, the director and choreographer for this production. We have David Murray, a Bradford alumni and equity actor, whom I remember as the lead in Les Miserables, maybe 2004 or so, 2003, many years ago at Bradford. David just wowed the crowd. Kids were talking about him for days, which is true. In fact, teachers thought you were a plant that we snuck you in. That you weren't. You were awesome. What your major song was? What, Red and Black?
It was, yeah, red the black, yeah. Living room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were on top of the barricades, and you, yes, were. Yeah, you blew everybody away. I still remember that. That was, what, 16 years ago?
Oh,
it was
my.
Like yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Ben Woods, senior at Bradford, scholarship recipient to Southern Methodist University in Texas. So welcome, everybody. Christopher, why don't we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to this journey where you're directing this wonderful play?
Yeah, I come from Chicago. I was born and raised in Michigan. I graduated from Grand Valley State University with a degree in dance, dance and choreography. And I've trained in L.A. and I've trained in New York, and it kind of brought me to Chicago and my passion for theater. I'm very excited to be working on this particular project. I was put in contact with Holly through a woman who has worked at the high school herself, Brenda Didier. I don't know if you remember her or are familiar with her, but she gave my name to Holly. Holly reached out to her and said, do you know of an African-American man who could help me tell this story with these nine amazingly talented boys, young men?
Yeah.
And they reached out to me, and I said, of course, I would love to take on this challenge. And from day one, it's just been an honor and a pleasure and just fulfilling. It's a great story to tell, and that's how I got thrown, you know. That's how you guys
year,
found me.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing, an amazing sacrifice, too. David, you graduated from Bradford, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from then to now, tell us your background. What's been going on?
So I was actually born in Mississippi, in Jackson, and we came to Kenosha in 2002 mm-hmm. As a sophomore, and Ben was a baby. And I started theater around 2004 during Les Mis with my first show.
Right.
I had always sang in choir at church, but never really had an interest in theater. But Holly, the wonderful person that she is, she knows how to spot talent. And so she saw me in choir and was like, I want you in my show next. And so I was in Les Mis, and that was my first introduction to theater.
Yeah.
And then after graduating, I decided to go to UW Stevens Point, where I studied musical theater and got a BFA.
Okay.
And then after that, after graduation, I moved straight to New York. And I did some stuff at the Met, and then I did some regional stuff, some off-Broadway stuff as well. Also worked for Norwegian Cruise Line for a while. And, then I got a phone call maybe 3 months ago from Holly asking if I was interested in doing this project. And I jumped to it because to have the opportunity to come back to Kenosha, one, to see old friends, family, to work with her again. And also to work with Benjamin, who I've enjoyed watching him grow on stage or in the rehearsal
and
process.
He's your little brother.
He's my little brother.
But he's taller than you.
He is, unfortunately. I've always wanted to be 6'1".
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I remember your performances. They're etched in my brain forever. It's really powerful. Ben, can you go through with everybody how many productions at Bradford you've been in? Do you you even know? I mean, I've been watching you forever.
I would say this is my 11th production at Bradford.
Oh,
my 11th. I started my freshman year doing theater. I was inspired by my brother, of course.
Yeah.
Just growing up and watching him in all the plays he's done. And that just encouraged me to do it as well and follow his footsteps. Ever since I joined theater, I've always I've learned a lot from it and how to use what I've learned in the world because we face different world problems daily.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that opportunity and to continue this journey even in college. I'll be attending Southern Methodist University, and I'm excited for that.
The Mustangs, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Mustang State.
Yeah.
So I'm just thankful.
Well, you've done a great job. And so this is really a powerful play, and I guess in a musical. what is the message that you'd like to leave with the audience? Why don't we each take a turn? What are you trying to convey? What is, there's a lot to take from this. What is the primary message you'd like to leave with everybody?
The one thing I like about working on this project and this story in particular, it's a lot of, we run into this a lot, sugarcoating. I felt like this story should have been told a long time ago.
Right.
And what I'm looking forward to the audience leaving with is the knowledge of these nine boys and the fact that this actually happened. And it, I would say, is still happening.
Yes.
And I would like for people to leave with the awareness that this is the truth. This is honesty. It's not something that's made up. It's not something somebody put together or thrown together. This was a problem, and it was a problem with our justice system. And I just think it just needs to be pointed out, and it'll be nice for people to walk out thinking about how far we've come and where we are now, mm-hmm. and how much has changed and how much it has not changed. That's what I'm looking for most to people walking away with this, because I think when people see it, they're going to have a moment. The show's going to end, and you're going to go into deep thought.
Right.
And you're going to have many questions. You will have many questions, and we'll have talkbacks after each performance, which is very important.
If we could get into that after everybody, if you guys, what are the talkbacks going to be like, and that you have everybody understands that there is an opportunity to ask questions after the mm-hmm. performance.
Right.
Yeah.
So, right. So hopefully with the talkbacks, people can walk away with what they want to walk away with.
Sure. David, how about mm-hmm. you? What is the message you'd like to leave with everybody?
For me, I think it's I like what Chris said, a teaching moment, I think. Mm-hmm. For me, I feel like for some reason this history was skipped over of the Scottsboro Boys.
Right.
I mean, I took history in Mississippi, then I took history here, and I didn't really learn about the Scottsboro Boys until maybe 2010 when it came out mm-hmm. on Broadway. And so I think the show should act as a teaching method or opportunity. What is a minstrel show? How did it, you know, come about?
Right.
What does it mean to the story? How was a minstrel show main entertainment in America? How was that allowed?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I think these questions will be answered, or at least have an opinion about these questions. And I hope that people try to figure out how they can be a part of the solution, because I think a lot of times we, as Chris said, we hide from our history.
Right.
And truth. I just believe that in the truth. Right. And I just believe we should be students of history, and it informs our future. And a lot of times in America, we just kind of...
We bury it.
Yeah, we bury it. Yeah. And... I hope that when they leave, they can try to figure out ways. How can I be a part of the solution? How can I move us forward? Because that's another message from the show, is these young men, their lives don't really end that well. Mm-hmm. However, it ignited a movement.
Right.
So something happened. Something came from it. And so I hope that, I don't know, at some point in the show, they can think of what they can do to move the movement forward.
And to me, an older person, you have to keep fighting, because mm-hmm. racism never stops.
Never.
I'm sure you guys deal with it every single day.
Right.
It doesn't end, so you have to keep fighting. Ben, how about you? The message you'd like to leave with everybody?
I also agree with Chris and David. I think it's an amazing teaching moment, because as a student in high school, I feel like we don't talk much about Black history. And I want the audience to actually learn from this, because some people don't even know, like,
sure.
the Scottsboro Boys. So I think it's a great opportunity to teach of this, their message and their story. I also believe that this message, because it was the pivotal point that started the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way to allow people to learn that as well, how important this story was to the civil rights movement. Because many people don't even know about that. Because I know people my age in my class that don't know anything about Black history.
Yeah.
And I think this show shows a wonderful way of teaching them that. So that's what I believe.
Isn't it so important also... You're in a tremendously important field, that theater brings attention
right.
to these kinds of issues that get buried. I mean, you're right. None of this
right.
is in history books. I never read about it. So can you share a little bit about your mission with theater and how a musical, a production like this brings to attention events that occurred that nobody would ever know about?
It's... Every time I approach any piece, It's about the truth and staying true to what's written on the page. Right. And with this piece, it's about staying true to the truth of right. what happened, right. the history of what happened, and not skipping over a beat, telling the full story. And I love to do that with theater in general. Mm-hmm. There's opportunities in some shows that are not true stories for you to kind of create your own message mm-hmm. and deliver your own message. Right. But with this one, I love the fact that it's real and it's raw right. With no apologies. And I think those are usually the strongest messages, and those are the messages that stick the most. And with this piece and theater in general, that's what I always look forward to.
Yeah. How about you, David? What is theater? What keeps you going with theater? What's your mission?
Yeah, I think theater as a whole at times makes us uncomfortable. At times makes us cry. At yeah. times makes us laugh. At times makes us confront issues that we know that are there, but we hide them. And so my mission in theater during the show is just to not make, but allow people to confront these issues head on. I think theater does that, and it forces us to, mm-hmm. you know, really see these characters the way they really are and right. what really happened to them.
Otherwise, nobody would know. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be buried forever. Nobody would know. How about you, Ben? What is... Are you going into theater at SMU? And
yes.
Yeah. What's your passion with theater?
I feel like theater, the main reason why I'm into theater is because theater is a way to spark a conversation. And I think that's very important in our society and the world we live in today. I believe not only just to spark a conversation, but to light a change, you know, mm-hmm. start a change. And that's what's important about this piece. It actually did create a change. The Broadway production, they actually, after they finished with their production, they actually went back down to Alabama mm-hmm. to free these boys of their charges. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want from theater, is to spark that change. And mm-hmm. that's what I just love about theater the most, because it's so bold in that. And it just has me hooked.
Yeah. One thing about this piece is that amazes me, I think, is the fact that it started in 1931.
Yes.
And these boys didn't get a full pardon until 2013, April 19th.
Yeah. Right.
And that's unbelievable to me. Mm-hmm. It should never take that long. And this is something that should have been taken care of before we had this, right. before we had to force it in somebody's right. face to say, right. let's change. Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, this, that. Yeah, it's sad.
Well,
it's a sad thing.
You're in reading. I mean, some of the young men were in prison until like 1946 for a crime.
Yeah,
they
the
didn't
last
commit.
One was released in 1950,
yeah.
and they went in 31. So almost 20 years,
right.
they were locked up over this crime
for something they
didn't
do
that they did not do.
And one right. of the women recanted and said, "None of that ever happened. They weren't even in the same boxcar."
Right.
The backdrop of the story, everybody, is that in the 1930s, many, many people, white and black, were riding freight trains and boxcars mm-hmm. looking for jobs and looking for work. Mm-hmm. And so that was the norm back mm-hmm. in the day. And they got caught up in something that they didn't do. And because the system was rigged. And then it was so, you know, Samuel Leibovitz, is there mm-hmm. a character in the play, the, mm-hmm. the
yes.
New York defense attorney? Mm-hmm. Even when he proved that everybody was innocent, they still wouldn't let go. You know, it's like they were looking for a reason. Like you mentioned, David, they're true events, but people don't want to see the truth.
They right. don't. Even when he went in front of the Supreme Court in 1937, the rape charges were dropped.
Right.
But they found something else to throw on them
yeah.
so that they yeah. just can keep them in jail.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, you think about these things. It's just like, how can you just do that to an American, somebody who's supposed to be a part of your culture, somebody who's supposed to be a part of your country.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah.
Afraid of change.
Mm-hmm. The play ends, am I correct, with a lady getting on a bus?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In where? Mississippi?
Yes.
Yeah. And that lady happens to be Rosa Parks.
Yes.
And it gives me chills to even talk about it. So what did you think of the ending, and does that give people hope? What did you think of the ending? Is it appropriate? Is that the way you would have done it? Or?
I mean, there's a full circle there. Rosa Parks married Raymond Parks, mm-hmm. Who was a big supporter of the Scottsboro Boys. He would cook for the Scottsboro Boys. He would visit them. He would send things to them. And she became she joined this movement with her husband.
I see.
And so she's been invested. She was invested in the Scottsboro Boys just as much as anybody, probably one of their biggest fans.
Okay.
There's a full circle moment there with mm-hmm. Rosa Parks. I think that every day she was alive, even after the last one was released, she would go back to those days. She used this trial to build her up mm-hmm. and to help with her fight and help with the civil rights movement and help with the during the Jim Crow era. I think that there's a lot to be said there with the whole Rosa Parks situation mm-hmm. and her husband being such a big part of this.
I didn't realize that. I realized it ended with Rosa Parks getting on the bus. Mm-hmm. So most of the play, of the musical, what transpires? Is it the trial, the many trials, the Supreme Court, you know, from the start, the middle part of the play? Can you run through that with us, David, what's happening or what happens?
Yes, so we start by meeting the boys, so they get taken off the train.
Okay.
So that's in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to the multiple trials throughout the musical. And then we end with who's the last person?
Well,
the last trial.
Yeah, the show just ends with telling each person's story, and mm-hmm. you know, just kind of emphasizing their timeline. It's you know, they try in a 100-minute show. The show is only 100 minutes.
Oh.
There's no intermission.
Okay.
So it flies by. And they start at the very beginning, and they try to put as much as they can until the very end, to the last Scottsboro boy is gone.
Wow.
Dead. They go from the train until
multiple trials.
Yeah, yeah. The mm-hmm. trials. They go through. They try to give you as much as possible.
I have. Is it okay if I read the young men? So the unfortunate black teenagers included Haywood Patterson, age 18, who claimed that he had ridden freight trains for so long that he could light a cigarette on the top of a moving train. Clarence Norris, age 19, who had left behind 10 brothers and sisters in rural Georgia. Charlie Weems, age 19, brothers Andy Wright, age 19, and Roy Wright, age 12, were leaving home for the first time. I mean, listen to this. He's a 12-year-old. The nearly blind Olin Montgomery, age 17, who was hoping to get a job in order to pay for a pair of glasses that he so desperately needed. Ozzie Powell, age 16. Willie Robertson, age 16, who suffered from such severe syphilis that he could barely walk. And Eugene Williams, age 13. Of these 9 boys, only 4 knew each other prior to their arrest. So, Ben, who do you play?
I play Haywood Patterson in
okay.
the show.
Okay, and what can you tell us about his part or his character?
Well, Haywood's character, he's one that will never give up. And even though the courts and the government system, they throw so many things at him to make him think himself that he's wrong and that they are guilty,
right.
He doesn't back down. Even to his final breath, he still doesn't back down. So the thing about Haywood, he is such a strong character in his beliefs. and about the truth. And he's so connected with his mother, which is so fascinating to me how connected he is with his mother. And I think that is the reason why he is the way he is, because of an incident that happened with his mother. And he blamed himself because he lied, actually. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I will never tell a lie again." So he's such a strong character in telling the truth, and he's very encouraging.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. David, who are you in the play?
So I play Mr. Bones. So the structure of the show is in a minstrel show structure.
Yeah.
And there, in the format, there is a leader who is the interlocutor. It's called the interlocutor. And then there are two end men. And these men, in the traditional sense, are white men in blackface. But with this story, they flipped it on its head, and they're played by African-American characters.
Okay.
And they act out the white characters in the show.
I see.
So I play Mr. Bones, who's one of the end men, and they act out the comedic sketches or the song and dances, traditional. But I play the white characters in the show, as well as one of his end men.
So, and I guess I would ask Christopher, your part. I mean, this is a minstrel show, am I correct? And the music is so,
from the perspective of a minstrel show.
That had to be awfully difficult to do.
It is. It is. I've never been to one.
I never have either.
If this was a concert or fashion show, I'd be all about it. But you know, it takes full understanding to know what's going on, and as the director, you want to make sure it's clear to the audience that this is not, that it is a minstrel show, and it's a show within a show.
Okay.
You know, it.
But that's almost impossible to do. How do you do that? I mean, you don't have an audience to track this with. So how do you know people are going to get it? Are you hoping?
Well, you gauge it. You hope that the truth and honesty in these boys' story is strong enough and powerful enough and important enough for these people to ignore the fact that it's being told this way, but also on the reverse side, to see how white people viewed us and made fun of us and how they thought it was funny. The reality being brought to them that when you see it, you go, this isn't funny. But you thought it was. They thought it was back then. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting, it's a risky and daring approach, I like to say. But I think it's a smart choice because it opens eyes. Mm-hmm. It makes people realize this really happened. This was a thing. And why? Why was it a thing? Why did people say this is okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so demeaning. You know, minstrel shows were brought around in the 19th century, and the objective was to depict African-American culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, black people in general, you know. Yeah. It's incredible to me.
It just seems to be heroic. What you guys are doing is very powerful. I have to do a commercial. This is Gateway Radio, WGTD 91.1 HD. This is Education Matters with Joe Mangi and Troy McDonald. And we have Ben and David and Christopher with us, who are principal people regarding the Scottsboro Boys. And it's coming up at Bradford High School. And here are the dates. Wednesday, May 22nd at 8:30. Thursday, May 23rd at 7:30. Friday, May 24th at 7:30. Saturday, May 25th at 7:30, and Sunday, May 26th at 2 p.m. So please come. This is really a powerful, powerful production. Are you, from what I've read, most recently the production was held in Arlington, Virginia, and for a long time it was in the West End in London. And it received 10 Tony Award nominations. So it's been around since, what, 2010,
yes.
I think?
Yeah.
Okay. Have there been any other high schools that have attempted this?
No, this is the first one. Wow. It's the trial.
First, yes.
Pilot. We're doing it to see if it works, see how the audience responds. Mm-hmm.
So you're taking this, I talked to Holly Stanfield, you're taking this to Lincoln, Nebraska, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is interesting, too, because Bradford, top 10 high schools in the country are invited to the Weed Auditorium in Lincoln, Nebraska for their week-long international high school production. Bradford kept getting invited every year, so the people at the University of Nebraska said you could only go every other year.
Whoops.
However, because whoever got wind of it, that you guys were doing this, somebody tweaked their rules and you're taking this to Lincoln, even though it's not your year, supposedly. Mm-hmm. So, David, Ben, have you guys been to Lincoln?
Yes. Yes. I've been twice. First with Sweeney Todd,
mm-hmm.
and then second I went for individual auditions there, yeah. and stuff.
Ben, how about you?
This will be my fourth time going.
Wow.
The first time I went with Dogfight, amazing musical.
Yeah, I remember that one.
The second time I went with West Side Story. The third time I went with Freaky Friday, and now I'll go with Scott's.
Wow, that's amazing. For those of you out there, I went three times when I was principal at Bradford, and Holly does this thing where she brings everybody in from the back of the stage, and just to watch everybody's eyes pop out of their head, because, folks, this looks like Carnegie Hall. I mean, it's huge. A triple-deck, huge theater. Huge. It might as well be Carnegie Hall, but it happens to be in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's the Weed, W-E-I-D Auditorium, I think. Yeah.
It's massive.
I don't know, Christopher, have you been there? Have you?
I have not. I know
you're
this,
going, right?
Well, this year is different.
Okay.
And we actually have our own venue.
Oh.
So we won't be in the big one. We actually get our own venue to run this show because MTI thought it was very important that as many people as possible saw this production.
Okay.
Even though it's not their year, it's an interesting year because the story must be told and needs to be told. And so they're kind of, they went out of the way a little bit. But I think it's for good reason. It's for the fight. It's for the cause. Mm-hmm. It's to progress.
Yeah.
So a production of this type has to take a tremendous toll from you. So how do you do that? I mean, somebody asked me, Rochelle Moore, asked me to ask you guys, how do you prepare for this? I mean, it's got to be tremendous stress. Not only do you have to know your lines, you have to know the choreography, and you have to know the music and being able to sing and then dance. I mean, you have to be a triple threat, really.
Right, right.
But this is so powerful. So, Ben, how do you prepare? I mean, has it affected you in school or at home? And do you come home grumpy? Or how do you do that?
Well, it hasn't affected me yet, but I think towards Tech Week, I'll be affected quite a lot. But I would just go to bed early and get a good night's sleep. But it is exhausting. It takes a lot of energy. But it's what's needed. So it's for a good cause.
As Christopher said, it has to be told. Mm-hmm. Yeah. David, how about you? I mean, you've been on Broadway and in New York for a long time. How do you deal with that?
You do go to sleep early. That helps.
Yeah.
But for me, emotionally, it is tough when you do shows like this because just the magnitude of accepting that this happened to these young men, and when you're preparing, at least I go through hundreds of hours of documentaries, and I stayed at the library before I got here, Lincoln Center in New York, and you're just engulfed in the history, and you feel like every day, everything that comes on the news reminds you of, oh, God, this happened in the show. So you are affected, and you learn, I think, the more you do this to leave those emotions in rehearsals. And so I think I prioritize, you know, okay, these emotions stay here. When I'm, you know, at home, I am, you know, watching positive things and not thinking of, you know. But it's hard these days because we're living, history continues to repeat itself. And so it's still on the news.
Yeah, it doesn't go away. I mean, Christopher, how about you? You've been in theater and for a long time. So how do you deal with, how do you keep your head on straight, I guess? How do you de-stress?
I don't. I'm just joking. I just keep going. Yeah. I look at the positives. It's about being positive for me and seeing the end goal.
Yeah.
You know, passion is a real thing.
Yep.
And it keeps you going. It fuels you, you know. That's how I keep going, honestly. That's how I get up and do it every day.
When my daughter was on Broadway for the year and a half, I think they followed. They were in the St. James Theater. And Liam Neeson, he's the... What are the movies he's in that there's
Taken
1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yep, right.
And when his wife was alive, Miranda Richardson, they were doing a production, maybe The King and I or something, I don't know. But there was a note backstage before the actors and actresses would get on stage. And they really had trouble with matinees. Because matinees, everybody's kind of like half asleep. It isn't the buzz that there is at night. Nicole used to talk about that. But their famous quote was, ever tried, ever failed, no matter. Fail better. And so that goes to what you were saying, Christopher. You got to keep trying. And if you fail, you fail better. I don't know. You guys have a quote or something that keeps you going?
Don't stop.
Don't stop. Don't stop believing.
Forward.
Yeah. Sophia Loren has this great quote that sometimes it's okay to cry. If you haven't cried, your eyes can't be beautiful. So I think there's a lot to both of that. So we have a few minutes left. Any last thoughts about this whole experience? I mean, it's coming up pretty fast. Christopher, how about you? What have you learned from all of this? What are you learning?
Oh, I'm
with the kids, and I mean, how many people are in this production?
There are 12.
Okay.
There's 13.
There's the 9 boys, right? And then
the 4.
Who are the 4?
There's 13. Rosa, Tambo, Bones, and an interlocutor.
Okay, so Rosa Parks has got a part in the play. Yeah. All right. Wow.
Yes.
Cool.
Her presence is just, you know, just having her there in the show, I think, makes a lot of sense.
So what have you learned about the kids, about Bradford, about the play? What have you learned?
You know, when I got the phone call from Holly, and she was telling me that there were actually 9 African-American boys in a theater program.
Right.
I lost my mind. I was like, no, you mean like this is, you know, they're but they've helped me learn hope. You know, hope is a big part of this show, especially with these boys. Hope and just knowing that these 9 young men, when I walked into rehearsal, fueled me.
Yeah.
You know, even more than what I already was. Because being there, I realized I wasn't doing it for myself anymore. I was doing it for them. I've grown during this experience as a person, a director, an African-American man. I would have never thought this would have happened in a high school setting.
Yeah.
So from this, I take away hope, possibility in the future, and progress. This is progress to me.
Wow.
And I think when other people see this, I think it's just going to fuel other people, other programs to say we should try harder to bring other people in, different people of color, different people from different cultures, different backgrounds, and that's the biggest thing that I'm getting from this. When I leave this process, I plan to implement that as many places as I can.
That's wonderful.
That's what I really like to do.
How about you, David? What are you learning from this?
I'll just say one of my first questions to Ben was, Holly found 9 African-American boys to play.
Right.
But for me... as one of the adult actors in the show, I am ecstatic about working with these kids or young men. They are fearless. They just do. And that's a teaching moment for every actor, to just do and just be present. And I'm just impressed how they are dealing with this subject matter as young men, knowing that that they are the exact ages of the Scottsboro boys, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, the youngest was, what, 13?
13, yeah.
I mean, oh, God, yeah.
So, I mean, as an actor, I am learning. Every day I'm in that studio with them. And I, for the audience, I hope that you laugh. I hope that you cry. The show will give you a wide range of emotions. But hopefully you leave with a fire to, you know, keep the movement moving.
Passion is everything.
Passion is
everything, yes. No matter what you do in life, passion is everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Ben, what are you learning from this?
Well, I've learned a lot, actually. This is my first show with an all-black cast, and I'm so excited for that, just to have that experience. And like David said, we're at the actual ages of the Scottsboro boys. I think that's just going to make the show even more powerful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this show has taught me a lot to be hopeful and to be truthful to everything that I do, you know?
Right.
Never let anyone make you think differently than how you feel.
Yeah. So that's absolutely amazing. So who are the nine young men? Where did Holly get nine young men?
Well, during the audition process, Holly said, because we usually don't have African-American men who actually walk in all the time. The nine young men are Jarek Smith, Nick Daly, Noah Tyler, Duran, Miles, Isaiah, Zella, and David Hamill, and myself.
So, everybody, we're finishing up, but here it is. It's the Scottsboro Boys. You can't miss this. You have to support these young men and what they're trying to do, and Ollie Stanfield. Wednesday, May 22nd, 8:30 at Bradford's Auditorium. Thursday, May 23rd at 7:30. Friday, May 24th, 7:30. Saturday, May 25th at 7:30. And Sunday, May 26th at 2 p.m. So we're blessed to have Ben and his older brother David and Christopher with us today as they're putting on this very powerful production, The Scottsboro Boys, a true story, part of America's history. That doesn't appear in history books, but it should. And if it wasn't for this production and Holly bringing it to Kenosha, who would know? So we have, what, 1 minute to go? Last thoughts? You got 30 seconds. Ben, any last thoughts?
I'm excited for this wonderful opportunity. That's it.
Okay. David?
Come and see the Scottsboro Boys. It will change your life.
Oh, cool. Christopher?
It's much needed in your life. Trust me. Come on and see it. You won't regret it, I promise.
Okay, everybody, we need you. These young men need you. And the truth has to come out. And this is a way of doing it. So thank you so much. Thank you to Troy. Scottsboro Boys coming up at Bradford's Auditorium. Thanks for listening and everything, and God bless you guys. You're our heroes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
And a very pleasant good morning. I'm Steve Brown, welcoming you into the WGTD Radio Theater. We're coming to you live from the Southwest Library here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. This is show number 120, and this is our 15th season. Today we bring you a doubleheader, Nick and Nora Charles in The Thin Man, and also another chapter of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, and McTernan, on the web at addmlaw.com, and also from the Kenosha Public Library, where Kenosha connects at all four branches, Northside, Uptown, Simmons, and right here at the Southwest Branch. On the web at mykpl.info.